I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Yeah, buddy, 6 o'clock. Nice job, Eddie Scazzeri. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Boomer Esiason, Craig Carton, The Fan, and of course worldwide on CBS Sports. We've got a great show for you today, as Masisi Sabathia has found it and found it again and again and again, and the Yankees take care of business in game two of the series against the Red Sox. All good across the board. The New York Mets actually take a lead, give the lead up, come back and win a game. And you had the best game of the NBA Finals last night. And again, you see why LeBron James, as great as he is, will never be Michael Jordan, so we can stop that conversation right away as the Golden State Warriors go up 3-0. Good morning, Boomer. How are you today, buddy boy?
Yeah, I'm doing all right, Craigie. You know, and I hope you're feeling better, and hopefully you'll be better by the time our next
tore my hamstring, whatever
game.
It is.
Yeah, I mean, I know you're really, good, you moved really quickly to your left on a little nubber, but anyway, we're worse than the Mets around here. I mean, between, you know, Jerry not playing, Al not playing, you now going down, and me with plantar fasciitis, and thank God. Yesterday I got through the game, so it was all good, but we won, and thanks to the Hebrew Home for having us up there.
It's a great day.
Beautiful town of Irvington. If you've never been there, I mean, it's just a beautiful, beautiful place. We had a great night last night, so that was good. As a pitcher of the winning team, I kind of understand where the Met pitchers are coming from sometimes, but I also understand where the Met pitchers can be like such a disaster, especially
in the bullpen.
But, you know, the good thing is that maybe Zach Wheeler's all the way back now. And much like CC Sabathia last night, both pitchers, starting pitchers, gave a really, really strong performance, which is, you know, I'm looking for a silver lining, anything for the Mets. And then for CC Sabathia to come back and do it the way he's doing it.
Right.
Against that lineup last night to get a shutout.
Yeah. No, it was great.
That was great. It's, you know, and you talk about a redemption tour, if you will. CC over the last 2 years has, you know, tried to get his life back in order and certainly has done that. He actually even inspired Steve Sarkisian.
I saw that story where Steve Sarkisian, the former college head coach, is now the offensive coordinator for Atlanta, maybe?
For the Atlanta. He takes over, you know, He
said he was watching ESPN one night and saw CC Sabathia in the middle of the season. We all know the story. You know, check himself into rehab for drinking too much. And Sarkisian said, when I saw him do it, I kind of dropped the notion of it being a negative, you know, a stigma. You're going out to get help. And I got help, and I guess he's in a good place, and whatever it is that he had to conquer demon-wise, he did, and he's in a good spot. And listen, Sabathia's in a great spot right now because, like you said, it's now consistent. He is, along with, you know, Severino, a couple other guys, he's a guy now that absolutely you can count on him. Shuts out the Red Sox, gets out of that, you know, man on third, nobody out, makes a bear and stab, gets the first out, and then gets out of the inning. And the Yankees, this is what I said. Listen, they lose a one-run game in game one, which Tanaka is terrible, right?
Right.
They blow them out in game two. The notion that, and I don't get it, why baseball writers and experts, not me and you, think that, oh, this is a real test of where the Yankees are. You got to get over that. The Yankees are what they are, a really good baseball team.
They're going to need another starting pitcher. And obviously when Chapman comes back, they'll be holding the bullpen and everything else. But Tanaka has been obviously the disappointment for the Yankees, I think. The other player last night that showed up and has had his moment now in the spotlight is Chris Carter.
Yeah,
right?
Couple more big hits, and that's the Chris Carter they were hoping to get, not the guy that strikes out, you know, every two at-bats. And listen, guys have gone to waves. Carter's hit, what, 3 home runs down in the last couple games? Aaron Hicks has been great. And again, I say it all the time, and I would say it about the Mets, if and when it does happen this year, when you turn on a game, and it's a rivalry, so I get it, And the stadium is packed.
It looks great.
It's eminently watchable, man.
Well, you know, they are a home run hitting team, the Yankees are, and they're exciting and
great last
they're
night.
Young and it was great. It was a good
they
bounce
40
back
how many thousand last night?
It was a really, really good bounce back win for them last night, and now you know, the rubber match tonight. And that's where David Price is going to go against Michael Pineda, 7:05 at the
now,
stadium.
We'll get to the NBA Finals in a minute. There's a major, major, major local story that you probably learned about yesterday at some point during the day. And that is, Boomer actually brought it up first on Monday this week. We were talking about Odell Beckham, missing the OTAs, et cetera. And they have a mandatory thing coming up, I think, next week. NFL teams do.
Well, the Giants do. Some teams are already doing their mini camps.
So the Giants next week have a 3-day mandatory. And the question is, will Odell Beckham be there? Now, here's the new line of thinking. And it comes
from... It's not a new line. I told you this
is
the
line. Well, you said it Monday, but it's new line from a standpoint of he hadn't said it.
Yeah, but now,
he wants a new contract.
Of course he does.
And there is the idea has now officially been floated out there.
Of course it has.
By his peoples. Yeah. That he's willing to sit out the year and not play if they don't get a new contract.
That's not happening. But that's not going to happen. But here's
all
the deal.
It's out there.
But here's the deal. So Odell Beckham Jr. is basically under the same system that everybody else in the NFL is. And this is a system that the NFLPA has agreed to.
Right.
And, Odell is basically lived up to and exceeded every aspect of the player that the Giants were drafting.
Yes, he is.
He is the, in the history of the NFL, his first 3 years, I think, are better than anybody else's 3 years
a
span. He is a rock star that, without question, he is the most exciting wide receiver in football today. And I don't think anybody would argue that.
Yep.
So here's the deal. Here's where the Giants find themselves. First and foremost, they've let him do what he's wanted to do for a long time. For the 3 years since he's been here, he's been a mercurial player. He's been somewhat of a psychotic player.
Right.
On the field, off the field. He's done a lot of really up and down things, very inconsistent personality. But nonetheless, you cannot argue with what he gives you when they play a game. He is a dynamic playmaking wide receiver. I would love to play with a guy like that. I actually play with a guy similar to him. Not quite as good, and I don't think is quite as dedicated to his craft, because the one thing I say about Odell Beckham Jr., you can say whatever you want about all the mercurial stuff off the field,
right,
and the fight with Josh Norman and snapping in the middle of a game and trying to marry the kicking net and all the nonsense that goes along with a guy who's somewhat unstable when it comes to his personality.
Fair enough.
And I think all of this kind of crap is there for all of us to see. But the one thing you cannot take away from him, I think he is working hard out in LA.
I agree, 100%.
I think he's busting his ass. I think he wants to be great. I don't necessarily know that he knows how to go about it. And I don't really think that he's probably surrounding him with the greatest people in the world that are in his ear telling him that this is the way you got to go about it. So I told you on Monday that I thought this was all about money. Now all of a sudden the stories start coming that it is about money. And he does have a point. But the Giants also have a responsibility to the other 31 franchises that they share the NFL brand with, that they could rip up part of his contract and say, okay, we're going to buy out a couple years,
right,
pay you a little bit less money, and then at the end of the day, you're going to end up making somewhat similar amounts of money to Antonio Brown, to Julio Jones, and guys like that.
Meaning
but just
about 14-15 million.
But just not yet.
Well, listen, I think if the NFL allows contracts at this stage to be ripped up,
right?
I mean, let's be honest, it's going to get ripped up.
So when I was a young player, the Bengals ripped up my contract twice.
All right.
And they kind of paid me more money up front.
Right.
But at the back end of my contract, when I finally got there, by that time, 10 guys had leapfrogged me.
You can make the argument that you're underpaid.
Right.
Because guys will always jump. That's the nature of the business.
That's the nature of the business.
Right.
So for a year and a half, I was the highest paid player at one point.
Right.
Then I was the highest paid player again.
Right.
And no longer was I the highest paid player.
Right. It
happens pretty quick. The question is, what will Odell Beckham Jr. be like if the Giants decide to go down that road at the back end of that contract?
So here's the weird thing about it to me. They have a contract. Now, teams never honor contracts, so why would players? If you have the ability to kind of strong arm a team, whether it's public or private, and get them to renegotiate, I always encourage the player to do that. It depends on where you are in the relation to your career and the team. What I don't like about it, and it's just me, you can like it or not like it, doesn't matter at the end of the day, is that based on everything I've read, and I've not talked to anyone on either side of it, Odell's agents have never initiated the conversation officially of, hey, can we talk about the contract? I mean, you could certainly pick up the phone and call the Giants up and say, just out of curiosity, what's the temperature right now to start this conversation? So what I don't like about it is that, you know, the New York Giants have been great to Odell Beckham, right?
No, you would like to think.
I mean, I think they probably have different rules for him than a lot of other guys. And Odell Beckham has been great for the New York Giants. So my gut is that if Odell Beckham's agents called the Giants up and called the Maras up or the Tishes and said, we'd like to begin a conversation, my gut tells me the Giants would say, let's do that.
But you
put the Giants in a spot where the Giants have done nothing wrong yet.
Well, the Giants have no reason to do that other than if the mercurial player is going to be a negative.
Which,
and he's going to be...
He's going to be a distraction and a circus.
If he's going to be emotionally... spent over all of this, and when he comes in, he's going to be depressed over it.
Right.
They'll have an issue on their hands, and that's something that John Mara and Jerry Reese and Ben McAdoo have to sit down in a room and probably say, okay, what are we doing here? What are we going to do? We do not want to set a precedent here and rip up this kid's contract just because he's a pain in the ass. I mean, you know, and I saw where I think either John Mara or the Tishes basically said in the last couple of days where they'd like to have Odell Beckham Jr. in a Giant uniform for his entire career. So the interesting thing is take Von Miller for example, because Von Miller basically is Odell Beckham Jr. on the defensive side of the ball.
Okay.
I mean, he's that exciting. He's that great. He's that much of a pain in the ass and on the field. I'm not talking about off the field.
Right.
Although he had off the field issues, don't get me wrong. I'm just talking about on the field right now. You know, you saw him in the AFC Championship game get after Tom Brady. It was just insane how good he was. Same thing of what he did in the Super Bowl. You saw the impact that Von Miller had. So that's the kind of player that Odell Beckham Jr. is. Von Miller is a 3-time All-Pro player, a 5-time Pro Bowl player.
Right.
He's been in the league for 5 years, or I guess 5 or 6 years. Let me see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So he's in his 6th year. So the Broncos basically took him all the way to the end of his rookie contract, I believe, and then gave him a new contract. So Odell Beckham Jr. is going to have to do the same thing. I mean, you know, the Giants do owe it to the rest of the league to follow the system and not, you know.
And not redo it.
And not, because if the moment they redo it for him.
Everyone else is going to get in line. I get it. With other teams, the guys who
always
perform well, I get it.
There's always the pushing and the shoving that goes on.
Here's the problem with it,
though. Behind the scenes with agents and owners.
Yeah, there's a problem with this one.
Yeah.
And the problem, I think you know what it is, just for the audience's sake. The problem with this right now is that Odell Beckham is being tutored by Chris Carter and others. Who are in his ear, and I guarantee they're in his ear saying, listen, they need you, they need you, they need you. You hold out, that's the only strength you have is to tell them you ain't playing. And I guarantee you that's exactly what's going to happen, because he's got guys that, right or wrong, he respects, that he listens to, who have played the sport, who know the business end of things, and I guarantee you they're chirping in his ear, saying to him, hey, look, you can get paid now. You might tear an ACL. You might, you know, get hurt here. You might get hurt there. You got to get paid. And I don't disagree with the overall
thought process.
Thought on
that.
Yes. I agree with it. It's a violent, dangerous sport. That being said, he's you use the word mercurial. He's a nut job when things are good. When things aren't good, imagine how it's going to go. And it's not going to go well. So the Giants are now in a very, very awkward position, because the company mantra for the Giants has always been, no, we don't do it. Now you've got an all-world player, arguably the best player they've had since Lawrence Taylor, the face of the franchise, maybe the best wide receiver in the game. That's debatable, of course, amongst him and a couple guys. And he's worth the money, so no one argues that.
Well, I would tell you.
But what do you do?
I would tell you. You see that catch that Julio Jones had in the Super Bowl?
Yes.
That's why many people think he's the best wide receiver
in
football.
And maybe he is.
Because in a playoff game against the Green Bay Packers, what did Odell Beckham Jr. do?
He dropped a touchdown pass and had 4 catches for 28 yards, and that ain't good enough for a guy who's supposed to be the best.
Well, yes. There's always the argument both sides. But I will say that he is without a doubt, a difference maker. He's without a doubt the most exciting football player with the ball in his hands.
Now, there is an extra little wrinkle to the story.
Okay.
And the extra wrinkle to the story is this. As everyone knows, Odell Beckham signed the single richest NFL-based shoe contract in the history of Nike. Adidas had made him an offer. Nike had the right to match that offer. And he got a $5 million a year, five-year deal from Nike. It's written in every one of those contracts that...
he has to play.
You got to play.
Yeah.
Now, there's some off-field stuff that's involved. I think there's camps and appearances.
I'm sure there's camps, appearances, if
but
he shows up.
If he ain't playing, the value of that deal changes dramatically.
Yeah.
So the Giants have that on their side, at least. But think about this. As of right now, he's making almost three times as much money a year from Nike as he is to actually play the sport.
Yeah, well, that's
testament, out of whack.
But yeah, that's a testament to his popularity. And yeah, that's a testament to his performance on the field. And yep, he deserves every dollar. The other aspect of all of this is a weird thing, is that if he does get the Giants to crack and give him a new contract,
right,
he is doing a major favor for the NFLPA and all the NFL
sure
players. So there's that aspect of it as well. I know how fans are. Fans don't really care. Fans just want their guy on the field.
I want to see my guy play.
I know Eli Manning wants his guy on the field. I know Ben McAdoo wants his guy on the field. I know their wide receiver coach is in a really untenable situation here because, you know, Chris Carter is saying a lot of stupid things.
Right.
You know, if Chris Carter is such a great, you know, coach, why isn't he hired by somebody?
Yep.
You know why? Because he doesn't want to put the time and effort into it.
And
I'll
tell you something else. And here's the
these professional football coaches work their asses off.
Yes.
And I've often told you that. I said, you know, some guys are in over their head.
Right.
But at the end of the day, they're all the same. They all work 15 to 16 hour days. They put everything they have into getting the best out of their players. This particular coach for the Giants was also his coach at LSU.
Right.
You know, why are we insulting or trying to insult a guy who's got no skin in the game other than the fact that he was hired by the Giants to coach the wide receivers?
And wants to make them as good as possible. And that's what his job is.
And Chris Carter saying things like, you know, I'll teach him things that he can't be taught by these guys. I know more football than they know. I mean, oh, really?
So be additive. Help out if you want. So
be additive is right, but why not become a head coach since you're so great as becoming a coach and really touching the soul of these players? I mean, come on.
The original deal would pay him $1.8 million this year. And the extra little wrinkle to his contract is that the New York Giants exercised the fifth-year option on his contract.
Sure.
That will pay him $8 million next year. So 1.8 this year, about $8 million next year, and then he'd be a free agent in 2019.
So you're talking about $10 million for over the next two years.
That's locked.
That's locked in. Now he can hold out. He can sit on the sideline, and nobody wants that. Or the Giants have to make a decision: do we buy that out?
Right.
And do we say to Odell Beckham Jr., okay, we'll pay you $7 million this year. We'll pay you, you know, whatever, $10 million next year, and then 12, 13, 15, something along those lines.
Yep.
Or do we just, you know, or is Odell Beckham Jr. just basically going to say, no, I want to be the highest paid wide receiver in football?
You got that, of course. If you're a diehard Giant fan, whose side are you on? You take Odell's pay me, bitch? Or do you take the Giants?
Now.
Exercise the option. You're getting $10 million over the next 2 years. We're good.
Odell laments the fact that every story about him is a story, that there's fake news attached to it. But look, you know, here's the thing. Odell is the most popular player in New York. He is the high-profile athlete in New York. I mean, this is not Tennessee. This is not Kansas City. This is not Cleveland. This is New York. So there are millions of opinions in regards to who he is. And the reason that he's getting his Nike deal
right
is because he's playing in New York. I don't care what anybody says. And the high-profile nature of what he has become here comes along with all the crap that he basically laments. And that's the fact that people make a story out of nothing.
Right.
Now, he has not said anything personally
about his contract. Crap.
I know, but he has not personally said anything about his contract. That's why next week when he does get here, and he did say that he would show up to a required minicamp, which is what next week is for the Giants, it'll be interesting now with the media having full-on access to him. What next week's going to be like?
If he shows up, is right. So we got that, of course. NBA Finals last night. A really, really good game. Fun game to watch. It was almost like one of those all-star games. Up and back and up and back and up and back. And then the final 5 minutes of the game. Really 4.5 minutes of the game. And with the Cavaliers having a lead at home and about to make the series competitive at 2-1. And then the lights went out. And what I mean by that is the greatest player in the world didn't score a point in the last 4 minutes plus. The Cavs as a team did not score a point in the final 3-11. And the final 11 points of the game were scored by the Golden State Warriors. And they just, listen, last couple minutes, the whole game ended.
To me, the second to last three by Kevin Durant, I think that put him up like 114, 113, or whatever it was.
Yes.
Was a really impressive one because he dribbled it all the way down right into LeBron's face. LeBron just stood there.
Yep.
And then Kevin Durant elevated up above over LeBron and just knocked the ball down. I mean, it was just a beautiful shot. It was like the shot. First of all, I guess we all can now officially say that Kevin Durant definitely did the right thing here by going to Golden State. And it was obvious as the season went on.
Right.
Even when he got hurt, they still won without him. But this is the coming out party for Kevin Durant, if you can say that he actually needed a coming out party. He doesn't need one. That's how great he is. But his performance, he's got to be the finals MVP if they win, right?
Oh, 100%. And I mean,
Steph
win.
Curry's playing great, but this
Kevin Durant dominated this series.
But don't you feel like every game it's Kevin Durant, Kevin Durant, Kevin Durant, Kevin
yeah.
Durant? And, you know, if I'm Russell Westbrook and I'm sitting there and I'm watching this, I'm going, oh, Jesus, man.
And by the way, I'm sick and tired of hearing comparisons about best players. Listen, I know it's an opinionated thing, there's no right or wrong, but Michael Jordan wins that game last night, and there's no two ways about it. That's period stop. You don't go scoreless in the final 3 minutes and 5 seconds. You don't wilt under the fourth quarter pressure. And he had a great game other than that. He damn near had another triple-double. He 39-11-9. I'm talking about LeBron.
Yeah.
But at the end of the game, you have 3 minutes, 11 seconds to go. A, you should take every shot. B, you got to make one or two of them shots.
No, him and Kyrie Irving had 77 combined
not
points.
Not to the last, but the last 3 minutes of the game,
it's not
you
because
got a chance to make it 2-1.
I understand.
I'm sorry.
It's not because of lack
Jordan-esque.
Of effort, man. It's not lack of
effort. I agree. They tried. They just couldn't do it.
The other team has got four studs, man. And they're like gazelles running up and down. You can't stop them. They're not going to score less than 115 points a game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.